Hi, it's the Moral Marriage Podcast, and boy, we are excited to talk about this today. Best friends, but still no sex.
We're going to talk about why peace is so important in the home.
Stop trying to lead and make decisions all the time.
You should not be proud if you raised your voice and screamed at them.
No matter what.
I'm Cass.
And I'm Catherine. Why am I allowing him to do this in front of our children? Why am I allowing this to happen at all? You don't get to say whatever you want to a man and push him to the point where he snaps.
I might have been a really bad man the other day, but today I went out of my way to be a good man, and she thanked me for it.
Is that you always want to act in the direction you want to go. So
he is just a paycheck. What about his needs?
We're Moral Marriage.
Let's flip divorce statistics with the new marriage.
Now, there's a number of levels to this, but I think it's pertinent for you guys to hear this first. Obviously, we deal with marriages in crisis. I mean, we were the biggest crisis of all, and we survived it. We saved it. We're thriving. We're on fire. I love the word you used when we were interviewed yesterday. You said, it's a stellar marriage. You know, it's a great word. And most people don't get the opportunity to describe their marriage like that, because a lot of the cases, I would say probably about 40 to 45% of the cases that I work with personally with men, were just great roommates or business partners or best friends, but there's no intimacy. And I think this is a travesty. I think that you don't understand. There's so many different levels and ways we can go with this today. But the reason why I think it's amazing that you use the word stellar is not just because you're brilliant and you have a big vocabulary, but because most people, you look good on paper if you're not in crisis and you're good business partners, or you schedule the kids in life and we get along okay, it's not too awkward, sure, eggshells, but we're really overall, you think it's good and you're just missing this intimacy. Why can't you use a word like stellar to describe your marriage? It's because you're settling for whatever.
People like what you're describing say, our marriage is, it's good. It's good. I don't know. It's good. That's what they say. It's okay. Everything's fine. They don't say it's amazing. We're on fire. Stellar. I didn't realize I used that word yesterday, mm-hmm. but we do have a stellar marriage. And so when people get into that, it's fine. You're coasting. You guys need to remember that it's good to be good business partners. It's good to be able to co-parent together. And co-parenting doesn't just mean separated parents parenting together. We also co-parent. We are co-captains of the family.
Yeah, what a great point.
So, and then you're getting along, you're not fighting. That's great. You should be getting along with the whole world. You should be not fighting with the whole world, but your husband or your wife should be one step above. And intimacy, emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, spiritual intimacy, those are things that you are going to share with your partner at a level that's far beyond what you're going to share with anybody else. So when you say it's fine, it's not actually fine, because that is not what defines a marriage. What you are describing is friendship, roommates, co-parenting. It's not marriage.
That's right. And, you know, so obviously with the title, best friends, but still no sex, I think it's important. And let's cover that. But right now, you brought up some amazing points. There isn't a man that gets on my call that just wants more sex. I don't care if he's in crisis or if he is a great roommate and best friend with his wife. We all want emotional connection when we met. And when the sex was there, you had that deep emotional connection. You just described this emotional intimacy. You described spiritual intimacy. There's all these other levels, guys, that you need to hold yourself and your partner accountable to create. And then the sex comes back. Instead of saying, sex kind of goes away. I mean, I get it. This is going on with the hormones, or this is going on with the kids, or, you know, you're feeding your own problems.
And those things are all real, but you're using them as excuses. Mm-hmm. They are reasons, but you can have a reason for being late for work. You can have a reason for dropping the kids off late for school. It doesn't mean that you're like, oh, well, my kids just have to be late every day. Okay, we know that there's traffic, but what do you do to circumvent the traffic? You leave earlier. You don't just say, oh, it's fine. No, it's not fine. Oh, the sex goes away. Everybody says, society says the sex goes away. It's not a fairy tale forever, blah, blah, blah. Hormones, all the things that he just said. Sure, you can take that at face value and just say it's just how it is, or you can stand against it and you can say that's not how it's supposed to be. Stop listening to the noise around you and the people that think that that is okay, because if you hang around with those people, if you listen to those people, you're going to start believing that, and before you know it, you're best friends and still no sex.
And by the way, that could also be just negative, like venting, right? I know lots of dudes might complain. On a whole, I think we keep it to ourselves, but because nobody wants to say my wife doesn't want me or whatever. But at the same time, there is the venting, the complaining, the going to Reddit, the commenting on social media, that you're just wasting all this time so you can justify the life that you don't have as the life that you wish you could have. You know, and I'm going to use spiritual for a second here. That's such a great point. You will probably find somebody who maybe from your church that you are equally yoked and you get into it and you're rocking and rolling your spiritual growth. You should be able to take that to your partner. You should be able to build on that. We get it. We struggle with it because I'm newer to faith. I'm like a baby Christian. So we understand that there's different levels. So then we have to work on that in the marriage. We have to talk about it. We have a new plan all the time for everything. And that's the same with your conversations. Let's go to the excuses for a second. If you guys have been following our story, you know that I thought things were great by the time the rug got pulled out for me, okay? And that was during COVID. So much had changed and I was so happy. And then right at the beginning of COVID, pretty much, that's when Catherine said, I'm not in love, I'm not attracted, I'm settling, okay? And so the rug got, quote unquote, pulled out from underneath me, okay? And this is a time when nobody could date. This is a time when nobody could, people weren't making as much money, we were struggling, you know, but we figured out 7 different types of dates instead of saying, I can't date. I probably hear 4 times a week on a call. Yeah, but my wife, she's just not afraid, or she's too afraid to leave the kids with somebody, so we can't date. Mm-hmm. This is all the same shit.
I don't have money for a babysitter. We don't have money for dates. Mm-hmm. We don't have a babysitter. There's nothing to do in my town. We live an hour from XYZ, all of these different reasons why you can't date. And that's you're thinking classic dating. You're thinking about going out on a date, spending a couple $100 on dinner, having some wine and getting an Uber back and forth, spending $500. You don't have to spend even $100. You don't even have to spend a dollar.
No, yeah. You just have to figure out that we should do an episode about it. There's 7 different types of dates that you can do. And you know, the point really is stop feeding yourself the solution of failure and justifying it, like she said, as reasons when they're really just excuses. And that's forcing you down into settling for something that you don't want. And by the time you guys start communicating through all these issues, you're so focused on that again, communication instead of conversation, trying to solve the problems and the issues, once again, spiraling into maybe, probably worse and worse to eventually there's resentment, contempt, and we're not even friends anymore. So now we're not having sex, we're not friends. We're just getting along, pushing the co-parenting, if we're even lucky in doing that. Or you get the awkwardness, the eggshells, you're filtering yourselves, what you want to say. You don't even know what's real anymore. Pretty soon you are enemies. There's a reason we say that. It's because contempt is the number one cause for divorce. So you've got to start changing your perspective on this.
Yeah, I love that you just said that, honey, because what he just described is the downward spiral. So maybe you're not in crisis like we were and like a lot of the couples that we work with are in. And I think it's safe to say, I would say 95% of the women that come into my program are in crisis. I don't get a lot of the, oh, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm married to a narcissist. He's abusive, emotionally abusive. Go back and listen to our other episodes if you want to hear about physical abuse and my take on that. But a large percentage of the women are in crisis. And if you're not in crisis, then you might be in the it's fine category, which isn't crisis, but you know where it's fine goes. So he just described you get into contempt, defensiveness, bitterness, resentment. He didn't say those exact words, but that's exactly where you're going to go. So you might be okay being best friends for a little bit, but then what happens when your husband starts talking to the woman, God forbid, at church, the woman at his office, the woman at Starbucks? Why? Because you might be best friends, but you're not looking at him like a man anymore. And somebody elevated him. And this is vice versa. Mm-hmm. Men, your wives, you're best friends and you're fine with it, but your wife desires to be desired. Your husband desires to be desired. And so you might be fine being best friends with no sex, but it's that those feelings are not going to stay in your little bubble. You're going to end up, it's part of the cascade of betrayal, which we did a few episodes ago. I can't remember, but it's not natural to not have sex. It's not natural to not have emotional and spiritual intimacy. You will seek that elsewhere. You will get your bucket filled elsewhere if it's not with your partner. So the best friends with still no sex is a very short blip in time. Maybe it's 3 years and you're married for 30. I don't know, but it's a very small percentage. It's going to lead to crisis. It Yeah. could lead to affair. It could lead to other types of betrayal. It could lead to deception. It certainly will lead to feelings of bitterness, contempt, resentment, all of those things.
Yeah. And if you want to recognize where you're at right now, think about it like this. How insecure are you when she's putting on a certain pair of underwear? How insecure, if you're looking at your partner, are you feeling? How much anxiety do you get if they're scrolling on the phone or they won't look up from their phone? Okay. You start to look at all that. That's the negative feelings, the emotions that are going to start to cause you to want to protect yourself. That's what defensiveness is. Okay. Even if you have the gentlest tone and you are trying to be careful with your words, if you're explaining too much, which I know a lot of my guys do, you're still really just being defensive. You're not responding and moving the marriage forward. You need to look at this like, this pattern is happening and it's all over the world, and it doesn't matter religion, race, culture. It doesn't matter how long you've been married. It's the same. So you need to start recognizing, no, that is something. You can hug your best friend. You can high five your best friend. You give your kids a kiss. You do all these things. So why in the world wouldn't you have the one person in your life that would take all of these extra benefits and share them with you, and vice versa, right? Mm-hmm.
I want to end with a story.
Please.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So he mentions this a lot. And if you're lost on this whole underwear thing, I'm going to clarify it for you. So he says, you're feeling insecure about the underwear that your wife is putting on. So what that means is that, think about, so ladies, think about the underwear that you wear if you're going to go to the gym. It's probably a cotton thong. You're wearing, you know, your leggings. You're not putting on lacy, cute little boy shorts or something underneath your leggings to go to the gym. Everyone would see through it and it's not comfortable. But maybe when you know that you're going to make a move on your husband, or you know that it's scheduled date night, maybe you wear your cute little lacy boy shorts.
The sexy ones.
The sexy ones. Mm-hmm. And the cotton thongs can be sexy too, but you know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say? So the whole, why is she wearing those underwear? So if, and this comes from personal experience, I'm assuming. We never really had a lot of conversations about underwear, but I want to share a story with you. So yesterday, it's a funny story, I think. I didn't work out on 2 days ago. And so the leggings that I wore for the afternoon 2 days ago, I left them on my bathroom floor. I didn't sweat in them. The kids didn't get snot in them, on them. There was no dog pee or anything anywhere, which, by the way, like, all of these things are real problems in our house. So when I woke up in the morning and I was going to go to my workout, I was just going to get all sweaty. The leggings that I wore from the day before, I put them on. So I put them on, I went to do my workout, I went to do everything about my day. And as I'm driving, it's like the middle of the afternoon. So I don't know, 6 hours after I put on the leggings, I feel a lump behind my knee. I reach up underneath my leggings and I pull out the thong that I wore 2 days ago. So now I did not wear the same underwear 2 days in a row, but it got stuck in my pant leg. So I came home, I didn't bother telling him, I just put them in my purse, brought them in the house, threw them in the laundry basket, because we're not at the stage where I'm feeling high anxiety because, oh my gosh, what if he sees that I have underwear in my purse? Later in the day, I said, I have a funny story for you. I was going about my day. It turns out I did this with underwear in my leg. I did this with underwear in my dirty underwear, by the way. I wore them. Like, you can wear leggings the next day. You can't wear underwear the next day. You can't.
And write that down if you didn't know that.
If you didn't know that, you don't wear your underwear 2 days in a row, but you can wear your leggings 2 days in a row unless your dog peed on them. But anyway, I said, hey, funny story. I had this, I went all day with underwear in my leggings. And 5 years ago,
I would have lost my poop.
He would have lost his mind.
The mind would have been running, right? Well, did you take those off of somebody else?
Why, which underwear were they? Yeah. He's going to go find them, see what they look like, see if there's anything in there. And it lets you spiral. It would have been a spiral. So that didn't trigger me. It inspired the thought when he said, why is she wearing those underwear? Because men think all of these
insecurity is a monster. It grips you, it twists you, and it gives your mind 19 different stories for you to think about what the problems are. And these are all going to happen if you don't have the different levels of intimacy that you're only supposed to share truly to the next level with your partner. Okay. So I think that this is really a good way to end it. She's talking about, you can't help it. Day-to-day life is going to make these things happen.
Yeah.
And so if you feel like your best friends evaluate where you're at when it comes to those negative emotions, because emotional deregulation is the root of all success and failure. Okay, guys, we'll see you next time.
Bye.